Well, Nancy Altman, welcome to Writer's Voice.
Thank you so much for having me.
Your article in the Huffington Post, Medicare will be gone by next Thanksgiving if Republicans have their way. You start out the article saying that you are grateful for Medicare. Are you on Medicare?
I am. And I, like many, many older people, really celebrate our 65th birthdays because we can finally be on Medicare. It's a really excellent system.
Yeah, I can attest to that as well. I hadn't had been able to afford health insurance for a couple of years, so I was quite happy too.
And in fact, again, we're not unusual. There, I've heard many stories of people who just are hanging on to reach 65. And part of what I say in the article is that we should be lowering the age for sure. You can begin to get Social Security at 62. There's no reason you shouldn't also get Medicare at 62.
And yes, and you also point out that, in fact, if things had gone according to original plan, we would have had Medicare for all already.
That's correct. We really missed opportunities. The architects of Medicare saw it as simply the first step. There was a discussion about whether you should have a MediKids program, or Kitty Care, as they used to call it, with the idea that children are very inexpensive to cover, but when they need health care, you're giving them a healthy start for a lifetime. So there are lots of reasons to have a universal health care for children. They decided to go with seniors because the need was so pressing, because seniors really couldn't get health insurance and were going bankrupt. But the idea was to put in a MediKids program and then gradually have the two come together until the whole population is covered by Medicare.
Right. And how many people depend on Medicare?
There are 55 million people who are now covered under Medicare. And, of course, we have, as the baby boom ages, we have 10,000 people a day reaching age 65. So the numbers just keep increasing.
The numbers keep increasing. This is a huge demographic. What are the plans of Speaker of the House Paul Ryan? Because he's really the guy that you're focusing your attention on here.
And one thing for people to understand about Medicare, even though it covers people with the highest medical costs, seniors and people with disabilities, it is extremely efficient and it has lower administrative costs than private sector insurance. The reason is that you have to have inexpensive insurance, you want as broad a risk pool as possible, and Medicare has that. What Paul Ryan and other Republicans want to do, they've never liked Social Security or Medicare. It's really ideology. Their attitude is, you know, let's rely on the private sector. Let's not have government do this. The problem is there are some things the government does better than the private sector, and Social Security's wage insurance and Medicare's health insurance are two of them. But what Paul Ryan wants to do, it's really ironic because they've been running against Obamacare, and Obamacare does have lots of problems. What they want to do is turn Medicare into Obamacare. Right now, you turn 65 and you've been paying all your working life into Medicare and Social Security, and that what that gives you the right to at 65 is you automatically get free hospital, or you get covered by hospital insurance. Medicare is a little complicated because there are different parts to it, but you do get the hospital insurance and you have the right to purchase the doctor's coverage, and most people do also get that premium. But you're covered. You just sign up, 65, you get your card, you go into the doctor, you give them your card, and generally my experience has been you don't even have to pay at the doctor's office. It's very, very good coverage. What Paul Ryan has been proposing for quite some time is to say, okay, well, let's protect the government. So all we're going to do is give you some money, and you go out on the private sector, and you find your own insurance. So it's really, as I say, it is what they've been railing against with Obamacare, because that's what Obamacare is. It's you go on these exchanges, you sign up for insurance, and if you're low income, you get a subsidy. That's what they want to do with Medicare. The problem is that Obamacare was far inferior to simply expanding Medicare. It was really an attempt on Obama's part to get some Republican support. That obviously didn't work. But the better approach is simply to expand Medicare, to change Medicare into Obamacare is going in exactly the wrong direction.
And you point out that we pay into Medicare, that it's an earned benefit. In fact, that's the reason I believe it's called an entitlement program, and yet the word entitlement has come to have a totally different meaning. I wonder if you could explain the difference between the meaning.
It's not by accident that's happened. There was a commission that was set up in the 1990s on entitlements, and it was stacked with people who hated Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, and a colleague of mine who was a staff person on that described it as turning an 11-letter word, entitlements, into a 4-letter word. It was really a PR campaign against these programs. These programs are earned benefits. Social Security and Medicare are earned. You earn them with your pay. They contribute nothing to the debt. They are completely self-financing. They are mandatory expenditures of the government. They don't go through the appropriations process, which is part of this entitlements language. It used to be just a budget term that meant that if you met the qualifications, you were entitled. If you were age 65 and you contributed the right number of quarters, you were entitled. But it sounds to people's ears like an unfair entitlement, that it's welfare. And so, as I say, it's turned a 11-letter word into a 4-letter word, that somehow this is a government giveaway, when Social Security and Medicare are nothing of the kind. They are earned benefits. The Washington speak is to call them entitlements because if they directly talked about undoing Social Security and Medicare, they would be voted out of office. So they can go around the country saying, we're against entitlements, and everybody thinks they're talking about welfare when they're not. They're talking about Social Security and Medicare.
Now, you said before, you mentioned Hillary Care and Obamacare. All of these are market-based programs. You also talk in this article, Medicare will be gone by next Thanksgiving if Republicans have their way, about the role of the new Democrat in getting away from the original purpose of Medicare. Do you think that they've reneged on the traditional values of the Democratic Party?
Yes, and let me say first the point about it being gone by next Thanksgiving, and that is, this is really no joke, that there is a process in Congress called reconciliation. The Republicans have control of the House. They have a majority in the Senate. They have the White House. In the Senate, unless they get rid of the filibuster, there is the filibuster, so that the Democrats could stop this. The problem is that they will use this little-known process known as reconciliation. That's what they're talking about doing. And that, they only need a majority. It cannot be blocked. It's fast-tracked. And that's what they're talking about doing. They're using the excuse that they're going to use it to repeal the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and that had some provisions about Medicare, but they're using it as a contrivance to get at Medicare, which they have never liked. The Democrats they are the creators of Social Security and Medicare, and they've been the champions throughout its history, but they backed away from it, starting really with somewhat with Jimmy Carter and then really with Bill Clinton, who got rid of the aid to families with dependent children, which was a part of the Social Security Act of 1935. But this kind of new dem that there's a third way is really not any way at all. It's really the Republicans have a view that they've always been the party of the business sector, and they are for low taxes and deregulation. And the Democrats have been the party of working men and women, and have been for the minimum wage, maximum hours, Social Security, wage insurance, unemployment compensation, and so forth. So they see a role for government in leveling the playing field, especially at a time when we have this very high income inequality. But the new Dems really sort of muddied the picture and said, oh, no, that's big government's gone. I mean, it was really Ronald Reagan who said, government isn't the solution, it's the problem. And instead of Democrats fighting that, they went along with it. So Bill Clinton had the opportunity. He could have lowered the Medicare age to 62. He could have put in Medikids. It would have been very popular, easy to understand. I believe it would have gotten enacted. And then Barack Obama could have built on that and lowered the age to 55. But instead, they both decided to build this Rube Goldberg machine based on private insurance and markets and competition, which I think really don't have a place. For-profit insurance should not be a part of something as life and death as health insurance. But that's the route they went. And the irony is that they were trying to draw in the Republicans, and instead the Republicans won many, many elections opposing it. But now that the Republicans are in charge, they have their sights on Medicare, and right away they're talking about perhaps January, but not later than the first 7 or 8 months of the year.
So now we have the Trump administration. Trump, in fact, promised not to go after Medicare and Social Security. I wonder if you could talk about what's going on. You say Speaker Ryan is going after that. How do you think this is going to play out between the president-elect and Speaker Ryan?
Well, unfortunately, Donald Trump, in 2011, in talking about Social Security, you know, he called it a Ponzi scheme and all of this, but said, we can't talk about cutting benefits because we're going to lose elections. So the question is, did he really mean it when he said he would not cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, or was he simply trying to win the election? Now, unfortunately, the 2016 Republican platform, which he was in charge of, is very clear about Social Security and Medicare. There were other parts of the platform that Donald Trump made sure had his mark on it, but not these parts. So there's really a question. I mean, I think it's incumbent, especially on people who voted for Trump, to flood the White House with calls saying, you promised, and that's not why I voted for you. He could easily say, I will not sign any bill. I will veto any bill that has cuts to Medicare, to Social Security, and Medicaid. But Paul Ryan's been talking about it, and those words have not come out of Donald Trump's mouth. So I think it's incumbent upon people to say that's not why he got elected. But unfortunately, he is now elected, and they have the power to do it if that's what they choose to do.
So what can we do?
The best thing to do is to stay informed and really fight. And if I can do a little plug, if people go to our website, which is socialsecurityworks.org, people can sign up and get email messages so they are stay informed on what's going on. We are certainly fighting this, as are many other groups that represent seniors and veterans and others. I think people have to stay informed, and I think they have to call their members and call the president-elect and say, hands off Medicare, hands off Social Security. We want to expand them, not cut them, and certainly not radically transform them. And that's part of the problem with both Social Security and Medicare. It would be bad enough to cut them, but what they're talking about is really dismantling them.
Well, Nancy Altman, I want to thank you so much for talking to us about this absolutely critical issue. You are the founding co-director of Social Security Works. Thanks for talking with Writer's Voice.
Thank you so much. This is so important that people know, so thank you for having me.